Gus, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
How you been?
Good. Great to be back on.
Well, I'm glad to, you know, whenever you want. You know, it's open mic for you. Whenever Gus is ready. And, of course, you follow Gus. Everybody's followed Gus forever from day one on At the Races and regularly now, you know, featured at BrizNet with his analysis. Looking forward to the Breeders' Cup weekend. Thoughts. We'll get a couple of plays maybe for the weekend, Gus. But what's some early thoughts before pre-entries as we look toward Cup?
You know, it's always tough before pre-entries, but just looking at the races, you know, some exciting races to get excited about. I think Hammer just said, I think the Sprint and the Dirt Mile are probably the top two right now. But I mean, we have three solid juveniles with, you know, Dennis's Moment, Eight Rings, and Maxville, which I think all three of those are very quality horses. And just looking to see how these fields shape up. But, I mean, obviously, you know, there's some great opportunities in those 14 races for sure.
What, you know, we haven't had a chance to talk anything on a consistent basis, but what do you like to do when it comes to Cup in terms of, you know, ticket structures and focus in, you know, how many multi-race wagers, which ones do you utilize the most?
I'll tell you what, you know, you get these big fields. I think I've had the most success with exactas and doubles. To tell you the truth, sometimes
keep it simple.
Yep, keep it simple, and you get a lot of value in those plays with the, you know, with the large fields, and you know, especially if you pick a couple wide open races. I usually focus on that. I do tickets with the pick fours, and I like to find at least one single and maybe a two deep on the other one, and maybe spread. That's what I kind of look for. Definitely a single though in the pick four and the pick five. I definitely need one of those. But I think even the pick threes, you know, the pick threes are they paid handsomely in the last few years as well. But I think people, you know, lose focus with the exact and the doubles. I mean, you can get some real value if you got a good opinion on two races back to back. You can get paid.
Well, and we were, in fact, last week with Jeff Siegel, this came up, and when I was asking Jeff about his preparations and mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to the ticket building, and we'll remind everybody that as much time as we spend handicapping, you gotta spend
100%.
Maybe not. I mean, it's not maybe not practical to spend as much time building the tickets, but there's got to come a point. Wednesday, Thursday, where you know you've got a pretty good idea of the horses you're going to key around. Take a break from the handicapping and put pen to paper and write down your perspective wagers and budget it out and you know take a look at you know the. You know, once we get the announcement, I think it's on the 23rd, by the way.
Right.
Wednesday, the 23rd, will be the race order, official race order announcement. The Breeders' Cup has a tendency to tinker with it based on the way the field sizes shape up.
Sure.
But, you know, look at that structure, highlight the spots where you've got your strongest opinion, and then, you know, back up on either side of those strong opinions if you're a multi-race player. And, you know, we keep suggesting, you know, if you're typically a pick four player, okay, fine, you're going to play your series of pick fours, but this is where you take a step back too and play more pick threes and the doubles, and I think it's advice that I try to drive home every single year that you don't want to have some of your best ideas, the horses that, you know, end up winning that you had a good feel for, and then you didn't cash because there's some upset in the third or fourth leg of a pick four, and you didn't leverage your good idea as strongly as you might have.
Oh, I totally agree with that. You know, like you said, once the race orders come in and just pick your spots where you have your strongest opinions and you go from there, I mean, a horse player's nightmare there where your 10-to-1 shot, 12-to-1 shot comes in, and then your single, maybe a 3-to-1 shot, you know, doesn't come in the last leg, and you didn't have anything on your strongest opinion at a price, that's a tough pill to swallow sometimes.
Well, no doubt. Gus will obviously, you know, get a chance to direct people toward you and the analysis at BrizNet and talk again Cup Week. Maybe, you know, pick out a spot that, you know, to discuss. What have you been playing of late? How much Keeneland action you taking in?
Oh, yeah, definitely on the weekends for sure, and then dabbling a little bit during the week. I mean, some great racing. The weather's been fantastic, and, you know, big fields are coming to an end here this weekend. But I got a couple plays today, actually, at Keeneland.
Let me hear. Let me pull it. Let me pull out. I've got, yeah, let me see. I've got, hold on. I got the, where's my Keeneland Friday? That's Keeneland Thursday, Keeneland Saturday. Where's the Keeneland Friday? What the hell's going on? That's unbelievable. There's so much. There's so many things here. Did you play Gulfstream yesterday, by the way? Did you play the pick five thing?
A little bit. I did. And got knocked out pretty early, believe it or not, with a low price horse, which is kind of...
It'll happen.
It'll happen. Yeah, it was over quick, so it's pretty formful. It paid well for the amount of low prices that were even at three was a signal on the third leg, so
I know, and it's funny that was the horse that gave everybody the opportunity to, you know, to tiptoe to turn it into a pick four, but yet I do get the sense a lot of people got tripped up either in the first leg or the last leg were the two spots that we're gonna get you on one side or the other. Well, let's talk about Keeneland. Go ahead. What do you got today?
All right, race seven. This is my best bet today. The five horse Emmis coming out of the Woodbine Mile. It was 78-1 in the Woodbine Mile with Channing Hill. Started in the outside. Somehow he maneuvered beautifully coming into the turn, but down the stretch just totally got shut off, had nowhere to go. I thought he had a ton of horse, made a move, just didn't have enough to go. This horse has been running good all year up at Woodbine. Five, you know, draws the five here, which is ideal. 9-2 is a very fair price. This is a loaded race. This could be a stakes race, this allowance race, but I like him a lot. I think he's going to get a good trip. There's enough speed in front where he's going to be right stalking right behind. I mean, he's faced some nice horses. I think this is the time to get Emmis at somewhere of 9-2. Would it be beautiful if we can get that? And I think we will because, you know, on the outside you have a few horses that are going to take some money, especially Cullen Road for Michael Maker. With Jose Ortiz, that horse is going to take some money coming out of a graded grade three. But Emmis, I think, is the horse I'm going to key on all over and starting to pick four there in race seven.
Well, and Connor Murphy, for whatever reason, Connor Murphy does not draw money, and he wins. I mean, he wins plenty. He does a good job. Interesting to see Mark Glatt come to Keeneland. Souter shows up here.
The six horse. Mm-hmm. Interesting horse. He only ran at Churchill last time. Kind of, you know, finished pretty decent, but it's a different, you know, nice horse. Was in some nice races earlier in the year. So, and you got Rosario on board. And the feature, very nice race today again. The Grade Three Valley View, full field. I think my horse is Winter Sunset, the 4, 8-1 on the morning line. I think might get a couple clicks down. I mean, she's versatile. I don't know if she wants to go 9 furlongs. I think she kind of flattens out at 9 furlongs. The mile, 16th, which this is her best distance. Coming off a win at Indiana Grand, she's got a nice post. I think she should sit a nice trip there. There's some speed lined up to the inside. I think she can get first run. I mean, the 12 is going to be flying late. This lady prance a lot for Baltus. She's 8-1. I think she comes down from that. I can see her making a big move out wide, the middle of the course, coming down the lane. But Winter Sunset for me, 8-1 would be great. I think she gets first run on the closers, and should sit a nice trip there again for Channing Hill.
Well, and Marty McGee earlier too. Marty landed on Winter Sunset.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the price. I think she might come a little down from that.
Yeah, but Chad, you got the two Chad horses that are
invariably money.
Yeah, Chad takes money like you saw yesterday. Focus Group was yes. really overbet. I mean, that was nuts.
I like him, but that's way too low.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I'll tell you what, I have a bomb in the second race.
It's
a bomber. I'm going to take it's a flyer here, the one horse. Abstinent for Ian Wilkes. Make third start, first time on the turf, going two turns. Bravo. It's had a couple wins from six starts at the meet. This horse broke the last couple times, first starts of his career. Broke out. I think the inside post and Bravo might be able to hold position there. It's not a loaded field for a maiden special weight there at Keeneland. I think this filly has a chance to turn it around. I think she's going to be a big price as well. She's 15-1 on the morning line. You might get 15-20-1 on her. I'm going to take a flyer on her. And I also got a pick for tonight down at Remington.
Go ahead.
Remington, race 8. Some of the races look a little chalky, some nice races tonight there. But the Turf Classic, I landed on the one Hallelujah Hit. I mean, there is a ton of speed in this turf race. And with Cabrera, you know, he's one of the top jockeys there at Remington. Inside post, should have a nice, cozy trip. Coming off of, you know, making third start off the current form. I think he's eligible to really explode down the lane. I think they're going to really back up coming down. And at 4-1, I think he's a very nice price as well. 5-year-old gelding.
All right, that'll keep everybody busy this afternoon at Keeneland. Gus with Obstinate for
Ian
Wilkes
in
the second.
Post time is 11:33 for the Remington race, so it's a full day.
Well, if people stay up 11, if they're going to stay up that late for Remington, we want them to stay up another couple of hours, another hour and 45 minutes, give or take. 1:15 Eastern for the Everest tonight, and
nice.
Coming from Randwick, and we're rooting Santa Ana Lane. I wanted to get one more mention in.
Okay,
running for a $5,000 charity donation, and that they gave me Santa Ana Lane, and happy to have him. He's going to be favored or second choice, and I hope he can get it done tonight or
good
early
luck.
This morning at Randwick. And the
nice. Well, the Yankees are still playing, so all the Yankee fans can definitely stay up.
The Yankee fans better have something lined up for after the game. Yeah, you're right, because there's not going to be there may not be a game six for Yankee fans. Unfortunately, the Astros are
tough in Verlander tonight.
Well, there you go. Gus, everybody, Bogey, 1967. If you're not following Gus, please do. And, of course, Gus's big day analysis available at BrizNet on a regular basis. And, Gus, always great. I appreciate it.
They've been great. BrizNet, it's been a great opportunity. And, I mean, it's been just a complete joy to be a part of them.
Well, listen, it's 16 years for you too of following that you've cultivated, and your excellent opinions, and you put tons of work in, and so absolutely appropriate to be part of that lineup.
I appreciate that.
You know what, my man Gus Alonso, everybody follow him on Twitter. We'll stay right here. We've got plenty to do yet in these last 30 minutes, and right now Tom Herman. And I mentioned earlier this morning when we were talking to Joe Clancy about Far Hills, it only occurred to me today, Tom, that the parimutuel wagering at Far Hills, it puts you out of business on those Saturdays.
That's all right, Steve. I don't mind that at all. Still get to watch good races.
Exactly. You don't have to occupy yourself writing tickets out for people, and you get to bet yourself, and you've got a tremendous eye and a great understanding of whether it's the jumpers going over the racetracks, where we do get to bet them parimutuelly more often, but now on a regular basis with Far Hills. And given the pick five, Tom, I wanted to get you in here to really help people. Joe Clancy had his thoughts. Let's get your opinions, starting with the Grand National.
with the big race, number six. I have number six as my top choice. That would be Wicklow Brave. He's going to be tough to beat. And I think that's what Joe said, too. The other one I like, as far as the American runner goes, number eight, Scorpiancer. At level weights, he's the best American in the race, so I like him as my A's. As far as the B's go, I have number two, which would be, let me check here.
Surprising Soul.
Surprising Soul, yep. Yeah, I know I'm kind of a homer for Ricky Hendricks, but that horse came out of the Belmont race well, and they expect a lot from him for that race tomorrow. The other one I have is the Storyteller, number three. I like him as my B. So, Gordon Elliott, he's got the highest rating as far as the steeplechase goes in England with 158 rating. And I have to agree with what Joe said earlier about jury duty. He's kind of outclassed in this race by the Euros that are coming over.
That's interesting, given that, you know, last year, and Joe said point blank that this is not that, you know, last year's running, it was not nearly as deep as what was assembled for this.
That's true. Yeah, as far as the ground goes, it's going to be pretty hard for the Euros. I don't really think they're going to like it that much. And as far as their late running style goes, it might take that away a little bit, because their feet are going to be clattering on that hard ground, and they might not like it at the end when they try to really, really run. So we'll see.
The Grand National goes as the sixth, 4:20 post time. Let's back up, and, you know, kind of the unusual circumstance, what happened with the Jersey Hunt Cup, which had been a timber race for many years, mile and a half without hurdle, and basically, it's, you know, a mile and a half stakes race for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, from what I understand, they took the timber fences out, and that's where they're going to run the flat race. So, as far as my A's go in that race, I like number one, Renown. He's got the highest buyer speed figure. He has run well. He's stakes placed. With that, I like, besides the one as my A, I like number nine, Aldia Snow, from dropping down from Woodbine from a couple years ago. He did run at Aiken earlier over the jumps, and he did okay. But that ground was kind of hard, too. So, but he was just, you know, learning the craft as far as running over the jumps. But this is a flat race, and he's very, very fast. As far as my B's, I like number three, Surprise Twist. He's another fast runner that likes to win. And the other one I have is number eight, Mutant. He's another fast runner, and he likes to win, too. So should be good. Julie Gamine has done pretty well with the flat runners, so I expect a big run out of Mutant, number eight.
You're not going to use Lunaire?
No. No, I just think he's too slow. He might run underneath for third and fourth in the tries, but I can't see him on top.
Okay. All right, interesting. Back up to the Foxbrook, and pretty much I thought a very strong endorsement of Snap Decision by Joe earlier.
Yeah, he ran well at Belmont in the Entman. He didn't really beat that much, so that race looks a lot better than it really was. But I still have him as an A on top. I still have him as a top pick. The other one I like in that race is number six, Marcan. Now, that's another Ricky Hendricks horse. And talking to Ricky, he really likes this one. This is probably, besides Surprising Soul, this is the other one that he likes best on the day. In his last race at Saratoga, he got absolutely crushed. He got clipped heels, and it opened up a gash in his leg that took 70 stitches to clean up.
Oof.
And then he got bumped after that on the backside, and the jockey that bumped him, he served a suspension for bumping him. So you can draw a line through that race. He's back, he's training well, and he's going to run big tomorrow. As
nice.
Far as my B's I have number three would be Days Without End, the Euro Invader. He looks pretty good. And then the other one I have as a B would be Chief Justice. And he ran in that Edelman behind Snap Decision, but he should move up because he's getting a big break in weights. He's getting 11 pounds from Snap Decision, and that's a lot of weight because generally in steeplechase races, you count 1 pound for a length as long as they're racing 2 miles. So that's 11 lengths, and he only lost the Edelman by 7 to Snap Decision. So you know what? He figures. So I'm going to put him up there.
All right, well, then let me give the numbers out in order for everybody. Tom's plays in the fourth, fifth, and sixth. These are the first three legs of the pick five. The 1-6 as the A's, the 3-8 as B's. That's in the Foxbrook. The 1-9 as the A's in the Hunt Cup, the 3-8 as B's. And then in the Grand National, the 6 and the 8. And, of course, Wicklow Brave get the sense that he's going to be odds on in here, 6 and 8 with the 2 and the 3 as the B's. So there you go. If you're going to play just A's, 1-6, 1-9, 6-8. And then, of course, you got 55 for Chad Brown in the Ticonderoga, and then maybe spread a little bit in the distaff, in the Empire distaff.
Yeah, and race 10 at Belmont, that's what I had, 1-9-10. That's what Dave was saying earlier. And those are the only three you need in that race besides what you said, Chad Brown's in race number 9 at Belmont, the 4-horse he should win.
Now, it'll be interesting. We'll see. We'll see how I hope that people try this, Tom, you know?
Oh, yeah. I had a chance to look at Odds Checker for the big race over in Europe, and they have, just like 10 minutes ago, they had Wicklow Brave at 3-1 and Jury Duty at 3.5, and then they like that Brian Power at 6-1. He was the next choice.
I brought him up repeatedly now, and I when I get off the air, I'll send out the blog from this Nico de Boinville, the rider. He is all excited about coming over, and he had some really nice things to say about Brain Power. It's interesting, and I noticed too midweek when I checked Odds Checker that he was getting almost as much play as was Wicklow Brave.
Yeah, that next one after that they had was the Storyteller. He was listed at 9-1. That's one of the ones that I had underneath. So that's good. Is any of the other races you want to?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Quick look at.
You bet.
All right, we'll start at the top. The first race. It looks like Must See the Doc number 10 is head and shoulders above this field. He's got a handicap rating in England, which is similar to Snap Decision, which he used in the novice race, and he's a big favorite. So besides that, the only other one that I could see underneath would be Elfitz. That's number 3. He is Skudik's little brother. Skudik is a stakes winner over Timber and Brush, and he just won the big Timber race up at Genesee last weekend. Let's see. Other than that, the next race I have the 4-year-old restricted race. I have...
It's the second, the Harry Harris.
I'm sorry, yes. The second race is Called Back. It's another Ricky Hendricks horse. He won the Gladstone last year, so he's coming back to this year. He's had 2 nice preps at Colonial. He looks good. The other one, as far as the Euro goes, would be Lethal Steps, number 2. And then the Irish runner that Joe talked about, number 9, I got him.
Galway, Galway yeah. Kid, with the sort of what is going to look like an empty page to people, but in fact the horse has run and does have form.
Yeah, I tried to find something online. I couldn't see any of his races, but I'm glad Joe gave us that information earlier about him. Let's see. Looking at the PPAC, it's number 6 is, how do you pronounce that? Pravaluguna. That's
yeah, there you go.
By far the best, yeah.
Well, and she, the expectation there, I mean, it would be a shock. It would be a shock if she got beat.
Yeah.
And then how about the Appleton, the nightcap?
Nightcap, we have, it's a nice race. It's a big spread in weights. You got 18 pounds between the top and bottom horses. So, you know, using the one length is a 1 pound is the length. I came up with, as far as my A's go, number six, Quarry House. He's the lightweight. Gets in at 140 pounds. He's run well at Middleburg and Colonial over the jumps. And he's just getting so much weight, you can't ignore it. The other one I like is number seven, Kremlin. He's looks good. And
Jack Fisher off a long layoff.
Yeah, Fisher off the layoff. Nah, he'll be all right. He did run at Shawan in a flat race just to tighten up a little bit. He didn't do much. He was just mostly for a public workout. And then the other one, All the Way Jose, gets huge class
sure.
relief in this race.
Yes,
he
does.
And he figures to run well. So my A's in that race are the 6, 7, and the 11.
6, 7, 11 in the nightcap, the Appleton. Tom, I really appreciate it. Delighted to get you on the show. And we'll see you there for the second half of the card tomorrow.
Yeah, good luck with your filly tomorrow. And I guess I'll see you there, around 4 o'clock? If you
yeah, 3:30.
Okay. Yeah. All right, sounds good. I'll see you then.
Tom Herman, everybody. Tom, very close, follows the steeplechase season and the circuit really closely. He's got a great opinion. He's been writing up analysis on our website at Derby Trail for the last several years. And so there's some added insight as we send you over the hurdles. And we're going to circle back to Doug O'Neill. And I had promised to get to Doug this week because, Doug, for many years you'd pick up the overnight that Rick Hammerly's office would send out. And what did it frequently say at the bottom of that overnight?
Oh, what would it say? it usually always had some positive statement. Hammer was great with throwing something positive out there.
Well, or something that was for people to interpret however they wanted. Karma is king.
Oh, karma is king. That's right. That's right. Yes.
Well, the good karma, Doug, for you has been, to me, so obvious. I cannot say enough. You and Oscar De La Torre, we talked to Oscar a couple of times over the last 3-4 months, and you are literally the only, you're not the only horseman, but you've taken the most forward position and active role in standing up to scurrilous accusations and the protests that have been really so untoward, I suppose. I don't know how else to say it. But you and Oscar have just been getting everybody out and trying to spread a positive message and to communicate to the public the lives that are involved in the care and maintenance of the racehorse.
Well, thank you for saying that, Steve. Yeah, and I'm a very small part of it, and I say it. Dallas Keene has been working his butt off, and Ryan Glatt, Mark Glatt's son, has been very instrumental, and Tom Canoes. There's been many people, and I think the biggest thing is just being proud of what we do, and, you know, we all chose this profession to care for horses for a living, and we're proud of it. We love it, and just to get all the time, it seems, over the last year or so, from all this false information, it's just is brutal. And I think, I had the fortune to meet Oscar De La Torre. I knew him through some of the organizations he's part of in Santa Monica, California, and had lunch with him. God, I don't know, it seems like yesterday, but 6 months or so ago, and he commented, like, what the heck is going on out there at Santa Anita? And he had some relatives that had lost their jobs when Hollywood Park was closed, and so he was just, it was just so great to see somebody who wasn't really involved but was equally as passionate about the horses and the humans and the lives at stake, and so as he came out and got to see you know, amount of love that goes into it on a day in day out basis, and he has just been very instrumental at trying to organize these celebrations to honor what we do and to be proud of what we do and just try to be a voice instead of just a punching bag for, you know, some of these animal extremists that really the only way they're going to be happy is if, you know, all animals are turned loose and, you know, no one can have any kind of companionship with an animal. And that's just, that just doesn't seem right, doesn't add up, and it's not what we're about. So, I'm proud to be a little part of it, that's for sure.
Well, and who else? I'm glad you threw in some names. Who else has been involved? I want everybody needs around the industry and stakeholders and horse players and fans need to know who has put in the effort here.
Well, I tell you, Tom Canoose has been a huge part of it. You know, he's a military veteran, served our country in Vietnam for the Marines, and you know, he also has served this business for many years as a racing secretary and now as a jockey agent for Abel Cedillo and Martin Garcia, and he's been very instrumental. And Dallas Keene, it's been super instrumental. Him and his wife Donna have just been a huge part of putting together the rallies and the celebrations and trying to get the word out there. There's been numerous people. I'm trying to think of who else is forgetting a lot of people, but actually Rafael Bayrano came out the other day, and he, you know, here's a couple hours before he's going to unite with one of the many racehorses that he exercises, and he's going to unite with them and compete in the afternoon here. He was out there with us celebrating and holding signs, and again, just being proud of what we do, and opening up the backstage, if you will, the barn area, just so people get to see the companionship and the working relationships that horses and humans have. And again, every morning we're out here exercising and getting ready to compete. It's a beautiful thing, and we just need to get the word out there. So yeah, hopefully we can keep it going. And you know, we talk about there's a lot of people that just don't know much about the business, and if all they're hearing is the false narrative that the animal extremists are putting out, it just really it's harmful and hurtful, and we need to be a voice for the reality of what goes on. So, and we're very proud of the reforms that have been put into place. Governor Newsom's been very involved trying to support our sport, but also wants to see it get cleaned up and be more transparent, and we're completely behind that. So, I think though we've been taking a lot of punches, I think we're getting to the point where we're really showing the reality of what's going on, and again, we're proud.
Well, I cannot send enough positive vibe and appreciation in your direction, and on the racetrack, as I'm referencing, Doug, the results are also got to be heartening for you and the owners and your staff. Talk about the two fillies. We had Jay Pribman earlier, and Jay's tracking the juvenile filly field. Lazy Daisy and Comical both headed for the gate.
Both really nice fillies. Yeah, Comical just worked earlier this morning with Abel Cedillo, and you know, she worked by herself. I got her in 49 and change with a good, strong gallop out. And she continues to hold her weight and hold her energy and just loves to compete. So we're super excited about her. And then we got Lazy Daisies coming out here in a little bit to breeze. And, yeah, there's both are just very very mature for their age. And, you know, couldn't be more excited about the the possibilities with both of them, Philly.
Well, and of course, the Lazy Daisy, I see being, you know, the My Racehorse partnership people, they got involved with her, and so should she win, there could be 250 people in out on the racetrack for that photo.
That would be so awesome. Yeah, no, the My Racehorse people are great, and Joe Moran is one of the representatives for them out here, and he's constantly bringing some new owners to the barn and giving her a lot of love. And you know, we're so much believe that these beautiful horses, and that's why they're such great for therapy, is you know, they're mirrors of ourselves, and if you give them love, they give you love. And My Racehorse people have been giving her a lot of love, so she's just a happy filly and doing really, really well.
Let me ask you about the surprise winner of the Woodford. And this is a horse that when people open the PPs for the Turf Sprint, Doug, Stubbins is a little bit of a latecomer to, you know, this level. What are your thoughts heading toward a little bit of, you know, running out of your own stall for the Turf Sprint?
I know. Yeah, that was so awesome. And I'll tell you, just hats off to Joel Rosario. I don't know if he wins with any other rider. I mean, it was just such a grade one type of ride. And unfortunately, we're not going to have him on. He was committed to ride Eddie Haskell in there. But, you know, he's just doing good. You see a lot of this time of year, a lot of the three-year-olds, the good ones, jump up and can knock heads with the older horses, and that's what we're seeing with Stubbins. He's going to breeze tomorrow. And, it's a little bit shorter. We're going five furlongs here. So, he couldn't be coming into this any better and off a better race. That was a lights out visual, performance that he put on there. So, just very proud of him. And Jack and Kelly McShane, have done all the right things by him, and it's paying off.
Well, and Doug, who is going to ride? Is there a decision on that front?
There's not. You know, I know Irad Ortiz is what the top rider in the country. He may be open. Abel Cedillo is the top rider here. He may be open. So Abel Cedillo is scheduled to work him tomorrow, but still uncertain on a rider. It'll be up to Jack and Kelly. It's their decision. But whoever it is, it'll be a top rider, and he's a top horse. So we're pumped.
Well, in addition to, so you got Stubbins and you got the two fillies, Comical and Lazy Daisy. Am I missing anybody?
Well, we got Legends of War with Bayerano in that turf sprint as well. Hopefully he gets in.
Okay.
He's coming off a nice win. He actually beat Stubbins in a Kentucky Downs race. So he just breathed this morning with Rafi and went really well. And we're optimistic he's going to get in, and he's going to be tough as well. So we got those. Too, and then possibly Landeskog in the Breeders' Cup dirt sprint, possibly. And I got to talk to Eric Johnson, Dave Kenny, and John Fuller, and the boys that own him. And you know, they want to do what's right by him. And he's coming off a huge effort, a second place effort last out, and he's doing well. So if he continues to do well, and the team thinks he's going to be competitive in a Breeders' Cup dirt sprint, that could be where he pops up.
How about that? All right, so there's a little piece of news as the three-year-old. And three-year-olds have done all right in that race, as it happens, historically.
Oh, yeah, again, this time of year, yeah, they can jump up and you know, they're just fresh legs. We think his last fire was over 100, north of 100. So, I mean, when you're going north of 100, you're able to knock heads with the best of the best. So I'm excited about that, but again, it'll be a team decision, so it'll be up to the boys.
Well, if it was up to Eric, if we know what Eric's answer is going to be.
He loves to compete. Yeah, Eric loves his horses, and he's very patient. But you know, I know training for him. When I tell him they're doing well, he loves to compete, which is, you know, that's what he does for a living. So, but if they're not doing well, he loves to give them time off and do what's right by him. So he's a great owner, very competitive, and does all the right things. So hopefully the horse is doing well and he's able to compete, and we kick some butt.
Well, you've had a remarkable meet. I mean, could you have envisioned being the leading trainer at this point in the season?
It has. Everything's gone really well. You know, we were just lucked into a lot of races where we were one of the favorites, and things have kind of gone our way. But it goes in cycles, and we're going to ride this out as long as we can. But it's been a real a blessing the way this meet's gone, and I think it's been a tremendous meet for the whole Southern California racing. I think so far everything's been going really good, and we got to keep it going.
And the one horse I didn't ask about at all, that I'm just curious what's next for her, Don't Sell, who won the Unzip Me on the Awesome Again card.
Yeah, we'll probably see her again in a turf sprint, I think early Del Mar. I think they've got a little turf sprint stake. But, yeah, she trains well in the dirt, but, man, we've tried her numerous times on the dirt, and she just doesn't compete that well. But a one-turn dirt or one-turn turf, and she's tough as nails. So, she continues to run well, and we're looking forward to, again, I believe it's early Del Mar for her turf sprint.
Well, and I owe you a congratulations about a maiden win that was a long time in the making. Parsimony finally breaks the maiden and has made, like, what, $250,000?
That was incredible. I know, and of all places, a dirt sprint, which, you know, this is where you just got to really, you got to listen to these horses, because sometimes we want to, you know, peg them for certain things, and I kind of had him pegged as a route turf horse, and here he is breaking his maiden in a dirt sprint. So you just gotta listen to him and give him a chance. And yeah, he with that effort, we're gonna keep him one turn on the dirt. I think there's a first condition allowance on the undercard of the Breeders' Cup. I don't know if it's Friday or Saturday, but he breathed this morning and breathed really well. So he continues to train well, and maybe we'll be talking about the Breeders' Cup dirt sprint for him next year.
Well, as many as five potential cup starters for Doug O'Neill, and when you see Doug, everybody, over the next few weeks, thank him and tell him how much you appreciate his incredible
effort. Kind of you, Doug, now that you too. Best. Thank you for everything you do. We're all in it together, and we just got to keep moving forward. Hopefully we're going to have a couple great days of racing come Breeders' Cup.
Without fail. I will see you next Sunday.
All right, Steve. Safe travel. Take care.
Doug O'Neill, everybody. Doug O'Neill won on Twitter. And there's your weekend preview and a little bit more. Mike Welch apologized. His phone died. And Mike just sent me a text, Deja. That's why you couldn't reach him. And he said he will provide his sprint report. I'll let him know that Landeskog may run. when I talk to him off air. So Mike Welch on Monday. And thanks to Gusto and Tom Herman, and Joe Clancy, Doug O'Neill and Hammer, Jay Pribman, Dave Grenick, Marty McGee, and Deja, a busy morning on the board. Good luck, everybody, this weekend. We'll have plenty of plays tomorrow. Far Hills and Belmont and more. Good luck today. Minute Mouse in the nightcap. And Voltairine tomorrow. Talk to you Monday.